Hey, bro, don't forget, it ain't the first 48, bro. It's 60 minutes, bro.
We heard a whole lot of lip service, but hey, anybody can do that. But between them lines,
we're coming to camp. You best not miss. Even the score now. We need a score now. Back on that wall, when you hear that call, you know it's going down. We play from beginning to ending, you know how we finish. Turn at the bank, gotta handle our business. We need the ball, so it's time to go get it. Play with your heart when you hit, make me feel it. Like, you know I'm with. Come to the bank and get out of line, we sending a blitz. Say, who you with? You know who I'm with. That purple and black, and when we attack, you know what it is.
You're not locked in this zone, zone 32. 32.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Zone 32 podcast. It's a quartet tonight. My name is Jake. His name is Drew. His name is Will. His name is Trippy. Say what's up to them.
What's up, people?
Thank God. So that shit is handled. So things have transpired. You shut the fuck up, Drew. Motherfucking it's gonna interrupt the moderator. No kind of respect or courtesy. I would appreciate that. I'm in my feelings now. Good. Just like certain people, just like certain football players on the Twitter sphere. But I'm not gonna go ahead and I'm not gonna get into that. That's none of my business. Anyway, so. Things have transpired. Players have left. Kevin Zeitler went to the Lions. The Morgan Moses trade happened after our pod. So I think it did. So either way, Morgan Moses gets traded to the Jets. And now you have three open vacancies along your offensive line. But Ravens did bring back a couple of familiar faces. I'm going to forget some, but I'm going to remember the ones that happened today. Now, maybe an hour before this, we started recording. They announced they re-signed a former friend in Chris Board. But more importantly, the man Drew would call All-Pro Artie during the season has agreed to a two-year deal to come back to the team. So, Drew, there's a couple things to unpack here. Are you concerned about the vacancies along the offensive line? And shout out your boy All-Pro Artie.
Well, I'm going to start off with the positives. I'm glad Mullet's back. Solid slot guy, you know, played very well. Picked him up off the scrap heap from Pittsburgh and has turned his career around here. So, glad to have him back. Chris Board is a special team signing, you know, and some inside linebacker depth. Like, it doesn't really move the needle for me, but it is what it is. I think we need to start taking EDC at face value when he gives these press conferences at the Combine, because this is the second year in a row that he's told us he's going to do something at the Combine and then has gone ahead and done it. Last year, it was the wide receiver room. And, you know, he had the whole thing that sent Bateman into a little, you know, Twitter frenzy, but said basically that they sucked at wide receiver and that they need to do way better. And then he went out and got Aguilar, he went out and got Odell, and he went out and got Zay Flowers and, you know, basically redid that entire wide receiver room. And he said, you know, their focus this year was going to be the offensive line. And so John Simpson's gone, Morgan Moses is gone, and Kevin Zeitler's gone. Like, he told us straight up he was going to rebuild the offensive line, and that's what he did. The second that deadline passed where Zeitler had a ton of dead money on our cap for not getting extended, like, writing was kind of on the wall. I would have been happy to have him back, but I also think that he's old. He doesn't fit the scheme that they want. Like, they clearly want something different at offensive line. I think Ronnie would be gone too if money wasn't involved. I think the only reason that Ronnie's still here is just that, like, massive dead cap you would have to take on if you cut him. So, I trust EDC's vision with rebuilding the offensive line. I think you're going to have to give Todd Monken a lot of input in terms of what offensive linemen he wants and get guys that fit his system. And, you know, you're going to have to invest heavy draft capital in it at this point, especially, you know, Todd's had a year under his belt with Saleh and Ben Cleveland, like, on the roster. He knows what he has there. He knows what he has with Filele. And, you know, maybe Todd views those guys as his starters and it's, you know, just as simple as drafting like a left guard or Voorhees comes in and can play well. I don't know what the plan is, but they're going to have to do something at offensive line. I mean, they did say complete rebuild. So we're in the middle of a complete rebuild. I mean, that's really it for me at our moves. We haven't done a ton that kind of moves the needle. We need to look at wide receiver, I think, is really the one pressing issue this roster still has. That we really have no clarity on how they're going to move forward for that. So,
yeah, I mean, there's a lot of depth in this draft for offensive line. And like, I think people are way too caught up in, are you really comfortable going into the season with a bunch of rookies? And like, I mean, it's not necessarily that it's going to be rookies per se. Like, Voorhees is essentially a rookie, but he's got a year in the building. So he's been around pros. He's got a year of learning from, you know, from professional coaches. We've got depth in the building, guys who have been, like Cleveland, for example. Cleveland's been here for 4 years now. So, like, who knows if he's going to make an impact this year or not. But I trust Ben.
Definitely set up to.
Yeah, I trust Ben Cleveland more so than going out and just bringing in some scrap heap guy to play guard. And then there's a ton of depth in the draft on the offensive line. So I think we're going to see them draft a lot of guys for the offensive line.
And what do we have, nine picks right now?
Eight or nine, yeah, something like that.
I would say you're going to probably see four new offensive linemen.
Yeah, agreed.
You know, a low-end estimate there.
Yeah, and you know, I think Daniel Jeremiah today mocked Cooper DeJean to us at 30. That's not happening. It's just not happening. We're not taking a safety at 30. I don't see it happening.
I would never say never there just because we're the Ravens and we take BPA, but like, I think if we're in a situation where Cooper DeJean is the best guy left on their board, we trade back.
I agree. That's what I mean. Like, yeah. I think our first pick is likely going to be a tackle. It's where we need to invest. So we're rich at safety, even though we do need depth there. We are rich at safety. We have one of, if not the best safety in football. We have one of the two best in football. And then we have Marcus Williams, who's like a top 5 to 7 safeties in football. So we have two of the best 7 safeties in football.
And especially with Mullett coming back, you can have Radarius Washington play kind of that slot corner / nickel corner role.
Yeah.
You know, dime linebacker.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't see that happen. I think like you said, I think we're going to draft 4 offensive linemen. I think we're going to draft a guy who has a chance to start at right tackle or compete for, you know, a starting spot on the offensive line. And who knows, like last camp and last preseason, Ben Cleveland was even taking snaps at right tackle. Who knows what they're doing with him in the offseason, if they're working him out to get looks there too. I'm just saying, listen, there's a lot of possibilities out there. So
I just want to point out that in typical Zone 32 fashion, Will was 2 or 3 weeks ahead of the curve in terms of freaking out about rebuilding the offensive line. You had I don't want to say a breakdown, but you were like, I don't know if I want to go into the year with, you know, 3 open spots and blah 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 blah. And you've now come around on the idea.
If I remember, Will was freaking out about 4. Replacing,
but regardless, I'm saying that Will had the mental breakdown that fans are having now, like 3 weeks before, and he's now come around to the idea that it's the right idea. So I'm hoping
I was more concerned about is if we got rid of both tackles.
Yeah, no, that's fine. But your fear was gutting the entire offensive line that had just brought us the AFC Championship game.
Yeah,
I mean, that was like your direct quote, and now you're like, and, you know, Kevin Zeitler's kind of old, like doesn't really fit the scheme. John Simpson was great at blocking air and not much else. And well, Morgan Moses is fine.
Simpson I wanted gone. Ronnie, I would have liked to move on from. But, you know, when it comes down to Moses or him, I understand it made more sense to trade Moses, get something back in return and save the money. And then. Yeah. You know, we do have options with interior linemen. I think Voorhees is going to be a steal. That's going to turn out to be such a great pick from last year's draft.
He could be. We have no idea what he is.
Exactly. But, we said the same thing about Rashad Bateman when we drafted.
But
No. We drafted Bateman in the first round. We drafted Voorhees in the 6th round, I believe. Or
I'm saying though, like we hope he can be that guy, but we can't just straight jump out there and say, yeah, he's gonna be that guy because we.
But even if he's not that guy, like we said, I think we're gonna draft 4 offensive linemen. I would assume at least a couple of them can play guard. We still have Sala. We still have Ben Cleveland. Like there are still options to play that left guard spot. And I kind of like the approach of, like, John Simpson was a mediocre replacement-level player. You know, what's called? Morgan Moses was a mediocre replacement-level player. And, like, we're replacing those guys, and you know, maybe who we have doesn't work out, but like it's not going to be any worse than what we had.
Yeah, and so and at the end of the day, like we're all very, you know, down on Ronnie, because here's the problem with Ronnie. Our expectations for Ronnie are very, very high because he played at an all-pro level and he's been kind of a bitch for the past 2 years, like taking days off and everything. Now, with that being said, Ronnie took basically, I mean, and I'm not saying he did this out of the goodness of his heart, but he took a very team-friendly pay cut and is willing to kind of bet on himself to earn that money back. And I can respect the fuck out of that. So I do like where his head's at with that. So
it's kind of calculated on his part, because like you said, it is team friendly for this year, but it also frees him after this year. So right. If he does play well and he does play like the former all pro that he was, he can go get paid somewhere else.
Right.
And, you know, we're all, you know, go for it. As long as
yeah. That man ain't had no choice. They did a restructure. They did a rework.
Right. No. And Trippy, that's what I mean.
I'm sure somebody
he didn't do it out of the goodness of his heart, but at the same time, he did what was best for the team and what was best for himself at the same time. So, you know.
And I think about it too, like, so he played what? Was he healthy the year before? How many games did he play the year before?
No, he wasn't healthy the year before.
8 or 9,
He played in the playoff game though, right?
Yeah, no, he was getting healthier towards the end of the season, but he was never fully healthy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So who knows, like, this year it might be. And then look, you see he on a road trip with Roe. Roe probably was like, you know what I mean, helping him out. And then, like, because you got to think about it now, he basically the vet on the team now. So it's just like, can't be taking those vet days and shit. I don't know.
And listen, Ronnie Stanley, for all the shit we give him, one thing you have to know about Ronnie Stanley is he is a really fucking smart guy. So what he did was intelligent. The decision he made was really smart right here.
Yeah. 3 milligram Ronnie is a smart guy. But, you know,
I'm still shocked about the Borg and Bulls. I know you probably hear this, EDC, but yeah, that was kind of shot. I
mean, that was a smart move on EDC's part, though, to turn a guy. We needed to flip one of the tackles into cap savings, and he was able to turn that into at least something to get back, not just money. So he got
I'm still upset.
I know he's your buddy. I get that, and I like Morgan Moses. We all like Morgan Moses.
If you're asking me which player I would have rather kept, I would have rather kept Morgan Moses.
Me too.
Just financially, it made more sense.
Yeah,
and then it's crazy because like I know we're not the Jets, but the Jets is like I think like I mean we could some people could say well they all the people they signed been hurt and this and that, but they did a major upgrade. And I just look at us now, like, damn, we went from AFC to, like, not saying that I know EDC ain't going to cook, but it's just like, damn.
I mean, this is how last offseason was, too, though, is that everybody was like, Ravens lost a step, you know, blah, blah, blah.
And everybody was sucking the Jets' dick about everything they did last year. And I get that Aaron Rodgers got hurt, but everything else they did was supposedly so great, too. And that none of that worked out. They're trying to get rid of basically all those fucking pieces that they added last year too. So
bad teams have money to spend. Typically.
Yeah, the Jets are known for doing this kind of shit where they go out, they add all these motherfuckers. Well, and like you know who did this? The Patriots did this the year after Tom Brady left. They went out and remember the first day of free agency. Within the first hour, they had spent like $150 million. On guys, and it blew up in their face. They signed like 3 tight ends. It was fucking insane.
They signed Jonnu Smith. They signed Hunter Henry. They signed Judon at that point. And it didn't work. They didn't win shit. They sucked.
Right. Yeah. So like the teams that go out and go overboard in free agency, it's not very calculated to me. It's like Dan Snyder Redskins bullshit. You know, like
Eagles team a long time ago, they were like the dream team.
The dream team, 2011.
Yeah, and they sucked.
They had Vince Young and Mike Vick and
Asamoah,
Shady McCoy and
McCoy, yep.
And what's his name? Guy who went to Tennessee who was a running back.
Vince Young.
The running back.
Vince Young went to Texas.
Running back.
Running back from Tennessee. Why am I drawing a blank here?
He was on the Titans.
AJ Foster.
Not Arian Foster.
Oh, J.J.
No.
Was that not the J.J. year?
Wasn't Bryce Brown, was it?
No, J.J. was later. God damn it. Why can't I remember this guy's name?
feel like this guy doesn't exist.
No, he exists. God damn it. I could see his face right now. Hold on.
Probably a different T school.
No, it's definitely Tennessee. It's
gonna be like he played for the Eagles?
Yeah, Eagles. He was on the Cowboys, Garner? Too.
Marion Barber?
Nope.
Hold on a second. Let's take a look.
Charlie Garden?
Is it Ronnie Brown?
Nope.
Nope, because he went to Auburn.
Yeah, Ronnie Brown went to Auburn.
But that was him and Cadillac.
DeMarco Murray.
He went to Oklahoma.
I'm thinking of because he was on the Titans. He was on the Titans. That's the Tennessee I was thinking of.
He came about 2015 after that fucking 380 carry season.
I thought he was on the Eagles team.
He was on the last year Chip Kelly.
Yeah, he played for him, but
he said Chip Kelly was racist. Wouldn't give him the ball. I remember that.
Hold on, I'm gonna look up that roster real quick. Hold on,
I gotta send y'all this video. Damn, hopefully I can still find it though. Yo, that shit was funny as shit. It was going on.
DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, Brent Celek.
Jeremy Maclin, that ass.
Jeremy Maclin, we signed him, bro. I just knew that was our season.
Asante Samuel, Nnamdi Asamoah.
Motherfucker robbed us blind, man. Motherfucker couldn't even stay healthy.
Let's see, hold on, position.
Who else we signed that year?
Deion Lewis, Maclin. Ronnie Brown was on that team. You're right. Steve Smith, but not the good one.
Riley Cooper from Florida.
Let's call people the N-word at concerts.
Love saying the N-word at Kenny Chesney concerts.
He was part of that Florida team with Hernandez and Tebow and fucking the Pouncey brothers. Yep. Oh yeah, Brandon Spikes. That was a fucking wild team. They should do a genre music.
I don't fuck with.
That's, you know, not a. They should do a documentary on that. That's not directed by Urban Meyer.
It's actually kind of crazy. They called this the Dream Team. It wasn't that great.
Yeah, but they spent like for that time, they spent a shit ton of money. I think that was the uncapped year, right?
Yeah,
2011. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, so it was the uncapped year. They put a shit ton of guaranteed money up front to these guys, and it just didn't work. But yeah, I mean, the long and short of that is that like you don't win Super Bowls in the first 2 weeks of March.
No,
like you have to be smart with your money. You have to be smart with your acquisitions and. Teams that are throwing huge contracts out to free agents are typically bad, have a ton of cap space, and are looking to make a splash. I mean, the only position that's worth spending a shit ton of money on is quarterback, and you don't get quarterbacks that truly hit the free agent market. You know, what was Kirk Cousins was the best quarterback on the market this year? Like, he's okay. He's in, you know, top 10 maybe quarterback when he's healthy. He's also 35.
He's definitely a top 10 quarterback.
He was, but now he's 35 and coming off an Achilles, so I don't know if he still is. You know what I mean? Like, you're picking up a guy that was a top 10 quarterback that now has some serious injury concerns, so I don't know if he's really that guy anymore. And they pumped, what was it, like $150 million into him over 4 years, so yeah.
4 years, 180 with 100 guaranteed.
Yeah, wild money being thrown around, but that's not how you win Super Bowls. And I'm pretty confident in saying that EDC has a plan. I don't know if that plan comes to fruition perfectly how he's planning it right now, but like I have faith that he's not just going to roll into the year with, you know, Bateman as wide receiver 2 and, you know, the starting offensive linemen are all the guys on the roster right now without having faced some kind of competition. I'm sure he's got some veteran signings up his sleeves in terms of, you know, bolstering the secondary. I'm sure we're going to see a Jadeveon Clowney contract soon. I feel like he has some kind of deal with EDC where he's out on this, you know, free agent voyage, and he's going to bring the best contract that he has back for the Ravens to match. I think Chase Young helped that a lot too, because I don't think Clowney's going to get more than $13 million on the open market now. And that's definitely a number that we can work with. You know, and I know we get shit for being too positive sometimes and being, you know, too trustworthy of the front office, but like I feel like we're in a good spot to do the right thing and make something happen here.
Yeah, I do think Cortland Sutton is the guy that we go after as a wide receiver.
Well, so if we're
or Michael Gallup hasn't signed yet, has he?
No.
He has not.
I do think he would be a solid target to add.
If you sign a Michael Gallup type guy, you have to use an early pick on a wide receiver.
No, like
Michael Gallup is not he's a fine signing. He'd help the depth in the room. He's better than Aguilar. He's probably better than Bateman. you know, again, like, that's fine. But if you do that, you have to go get a Xavier Legette in the second round at some point. Or you have to get a...
That's ideal to me.
You know, if it's Keon Coleman, if it's, I don't know, any of these guys that are getting projected, like, second round, you got to grab one of them at that point. Or maybe you grab, like, an Adonai Mitchell at 30 or... You know, Xavier Worthy, like you can't go in with Michael Gallup as your wide receiver.
I don't want Worthy.
I'm not interested in Worthy either, but like there is something to be said about the speed of him and Zay on the outside with Derrick Henry running the ball and the two tight ends.
That's too one dimensional to me. I want guys who can go up and get it.
But how do you cover that?
Yeah, I get it, but
I mean, again, that's probably like more of like a Madden mindset on that, but yeah. I don't know, like that. You got that kind of speed on the outside. You got somebody who's going to fucking kill you up the middle with a running back. You got two tight ends that are going to kill you over the middle of the field. And you've got Lamar Jackson can still run the ball. Like, that's a fucking scary offense to game plan for. I understand that it's not, like you said, it's one-dimensional. But I don't know if you can stop that dimension. So I would definitely think about doing that. But since we're speaking of wide receivers, do we bring up what got us into this, you know, Ravens are going to trade for a wide receiver? Talk and then actually get into some realistic trades.
Yeah, let's get into it.
So there's a certain moron on 105.7 The Fan.
He's Jason a fat Lockenfora. Fuck.
He's you know, just a special individual. We've talked about him on the podcast before. It came out last week at some point that the Ravens had called around about wide receivers and called the San Francisco 49ers about Deebo Samuel. EDC had a chance to respond to that at a press conference and said that he had read the Lorax to a bunch of kids at a school and that, you know, the report about him calling about Deebo Samuel was equal to what you would read in the Lorax. Basically, really nice way of calling it bullshit. Lockenfora then went on Twitter and said, I don't remember what he tweeted because it was some crybaby nonsense. He was probably, you know, three bottles of wine deep at that point and tweeting from his, you know, feelings, but said something to the effect of like
something about show the text messages.
Yeah, EDC's a liar and, you know, I should do a radio segment reading text messages, which maybe your parent company wouldn't be going bankrupt, you fat fuck, if you actually read text messages on the air and had anything interesting to talk about. But he then went on the radio the next day. I listened to his, he had like an 8-minute rant on it, and there was one line that kind of stuck out to me. And I'm going to paraphrase it here, but he said EDC has a big-ass mouth that's gotten him into trouble. He lies a lot. You know, he's gotten into problems with players and agents, and that some PA, which I think is like a press assistant. I don't know what PA actually stands for in the NFL world, but that's what
Personal
assistant that he had to get, you know, got involved with between EDC and Bateman, and that he had to squash some kind of beef going on there. I just want to address that. Jason Lockenfora has a problem with EDC because Jason Lockenfora is a rat. It's been posted all over Twitter that, you know, there was some kind of blow up between those two. I think I've narrowed it down to a couple scenarios where Jason Lockenfora has run with a report that is blatantly false. And I think that EDC probably fed him false information. I don't know if anybody's watched The Departed, but there's a point where they're trying, you know, Jack Nicholas or Jackie, whatever the fuck his name is in the movie, is trying to find the rat and is feeding bullshit about drugs coming into Gloucester and like trying to see if it gets back to the Boston PD. And that's what EDC pulled, is he clearly had watched The Pirate one night and fed a bunch of bullshit to JLC and then it leaked out. I think I know the specific circumstance. I'm not going to air it because I don't know if I was told that in confidence or not. I'm not really trying to piss people off or get anybody in trouble, but it really came down to there was a player the Ravens were negotiating with and a bunch of fake offers got leaked, or a specific fake offer got leaked out, and it ended up being from JLC and it was a lie from EDC. So I don't know. I mean, that guy, it just seems like every couple of months he has some dumb shit to add, some dumb shit to say. He dislikes the Ravens because they don't like him. He's got a long history of, you know, being a loudmouth, being unprofessional. Like, that's, if you watch the Ravens at all, that's not how they operate as an organization. It's the same way that he operates his radio program. I mean, he's loud, he's stupid, he says the first thing that comes to his mind. And the Ravens are a more buttoned up professional program. They clearly don't want somebody like him around. They've, I think, done their best to kind of force him out of the building. I know people there don't like him. And I don't know. I'm just, every couple of months, the shit pops up of, you know, he's got some dumb shit to say about the front office not doing enough. And in this situation, it was, you know, he's a little butthurt because EDC, you know, painted him or, you know, smoked him out as a rat a couple years. Is that, that's really the crux of that.
Well, and then, yeah, and then EDC burned him during the press conference.
And it could have been a lot worse. So, like, he didn't name him. He didn't fucking, you know, really publicly shame him. But he was the only idiot running
everybody,
with that rumor.
Well, everybody knew what he was talking about.
I mean, when your only media friend is a legitimate racist who can't get, you know, a job anywhere else, like, it should be proof to you that nobody likes you. I hate to be that guy, but, like, they're best friends. Like, she posts his stories and his rumors because that's the only person in the media world that still talks to her. And that's the company that he keeps, is, you know, legitimate racist morons. So, you know, congrats, JLC. You got three more people to tune into your radio program that I probably would have before. I'm sure your ratings are dog shit. Again, your parent company is literally bankrupt and has like 2 months to sell off all their assets. I am sure that 105.7 The Fan is going to be playing country music in about 3 months because you bring nothing to the table. Like, you are, you know, salary drain. They can replace you with a fucking robot DJ that would pull the same ratings as you. And it's because of dumb shit like this. You know, you got burned a couple years ago by a GM who played you, and now you're sad about it still. Now you just spout dumb shit on the air all the time. I think my rant's over here. I just wanted to point out that JLC is a fucking retard. So
there it is.
Yeah, I held that back to the end. That needed to be the finishing blow there. But what JLC did give us with his you know, stupid made up Debo rumor was this idea of the Ravens trading for a wide receiver. And I am very in on Cortland Sutton. I think if you look at all of the wide receivers that could potentially be on the market, like you're looking at guys in the last year, their deal, or guys who might be unhappy with where they are, I think he, money-wise and compensation-wise, you know, like trade compensation-wise, fits the team perfectly and is a perfect complement to Zay Flowers.
Yeah. Well, and like he's, you know, people always love to like reminisce on, you know, the perfect trade that turned into a Super Bowl for Anquan Boldin, and Cortland Sutton kind of fits that mold. Just big body, scores touchdowns, go up and get it guy, 50-50 ball. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, he'd be great.
Your pipe dream acquisitions have to be Justin Jefferson and Brandon Ayuk, but I just can't see either one.
And I wish that fucking rumor was true. I would love to get Debo Samuel, but I mean,
I would rather have Ayuk than Debo.
Yeah, because Ayuk, I mean, Debo Samuel is basically like, I mean, he's got a very similar skill set to Zay Flowers.
It hurts too much to me.
Debo is what Ravens fans
think Devin Duvernay was.
He's a similar player to Zay Flowers. He's bigger, but he's very similar. Not as fast, but
and he's a little more physical because he's bigger, obviously.
Yeah, yeah.
But,
so
yeah, I mean,
a little bit of a redundant skill set.
Redundant skill set, and Ayuk is just the, you know, last year of his contract. Like, I don't think they're going to be able to pay him.
No.
And so if you can grab him for, you know, I'm sure he'd cost at least a first and probably a player. So if it's like a first and Bateman, like, fucking sign me up. But I just can't see that deal happening.
No. I don't see it happening either. And I think just given the way our wide receiver group is currently built, an ideal solution. And even if we end up still having Bateman on the team, but trading for Sutton, plug Sutton into this group of players, and it's an immediate huge upgrade. I mean, and like it takes some pressure off Bateman, I think, to not be like
assuming Bateman's not going out the door for him.
Right, that's what I mean. So if Bateman stays on the team, kind of lets Bateman play the game that Bateman's meant to play, because Bateman isn't really meant to be the guy that people talk about him being. He's like a slant guy. He works in space. He's not. I don't know. Like, I don't know why people have
physically and mentally.
Yeah, I don't know why people have these great expectations.
He played in the Big Ten, and the Big Ten is, you know, has the physical and, you know, old school football like tag behind it. And so people think when they see a Big Ten wide receiver that they must play like that, but he really doesn't.
No,
it's not really his game, like you said.
How long do we gotta wait for Rashad Bateman to produce on the field?
So
we've been waiting for 3 years, and right, it's the same shit.
Exactly.
There is only one right answer to that, and it's that we're done waiting.
Yeah,
you can't go into the season with him slotted as your wide receiver too. Now, if you want to keep him on the roster because he does have, again, we've said this to death about Rashad Bateman, he was a first-round pick for a reason. He does have physical talent and has shown in
We've seen it flash.
So if you want to keep that on the roster because you value that more than like the sixth round pick you get in return if you just shipped him out straight up for something, and maybe this is the year he puts it together and it's like a, again, it's like a lottery ticket sitting there, I can live with that. But you cannot go into the year expecting Rashad Bateman to be your wide receiver too. He does not have it in him. He has proven time and time again that he does not have it in him. So cut bait and fucking bring in another wide receiver too and see if it lights a fire under Bateman's ass, or fucking send him somewhere else. You know, there's this whole notion of our fan base of, oh yeah, you know, this is the year for Bateman. It's been the year for Bateman for three fucking years. Enough. It's done.
What really pisses me off is when people are like, it's not his fault. It's Lamar's fault.
It's not all his fault.
Odell was taking snaps from him.
That's fine.
You want to know why? Because he's better. He's a better player.
No, like, see, you're fighting retards with facts. I'm telling you that you can look these morons in the face and say, yeah, fine, it's not all his fault. It's, I don't know, 70% his fault or 30% or his fault, whatever number you want to assign to it. There is a large portion of Rashad Bateman's lack of success that falls on him. Some of it's on injuries, okay? And that's like, fine, injuries happen. You can't really blame the player for injuries, but, you know, whatever, like they're freak injuries, fine. And some of it's Lamar doesn't throw him the ball, but Lamar doesn't throw him the ball, he didn't catch the ball. So that's a two-way street there. But if you want to blame,
you know what? But I don't give a fuck. You like, you don't blame the quarterback for not throwing the ball to a guy. Like, guess what? The two-time MVP does not get blamed for not throwing the ball to a guy. The two-time MVP throws the ball to the guy that's open.
I'm saying if you want to have that argument, and that's what the hill you want to die on, is that you say Rashad Bateman deserved more targets. Fine. Cool. You can have that one. But like, these fans want to throw the ball to Rashad Bateman 15 times a game. And then when we go 0-17 because he only catches five of them, and you know, the offense sucks and we can't score points, like, that's why we didn't throw him the ball 15 times.
Well, these are the same people who say Lamar holds the ball too long, but they want him to throw the ball to Rashad Bateman, who takes six seconds to get open.
Yeah, who only gets open late in routes and on the backside of plays.
Right.
I mean, that is the majority. And if one more person tells me he separates at an elite level, I'm going to reach through my fucking screen and choke them, because it is the stupidest fucking argument of all time.
Yeah.
And they all send that fucking video where the first four plays, he's open 5 seconds after the ball's out of Lamar's hand.
You know what? We should hear from our newly joined co-host.
We found Grant. Grant's alive.
Hey guys, I'm back. I'm here.
Mr. BBC's Paul.
Motherfucking Grant lives.
I forgot my charger. No. Who are we talking about? Bateman?
Bateman.
Yes.
Yep.
I mean, I'm done with the experiment. I wasn't on him from day one. You can go back and look at my old account. Ravens fans were drooling over him.
There was just
something I didn't like about him. Like, I don't know. Like, I thought he was good, but I didn't think he was a first-round guy. I thought he was like a career two, maybe three. And people in the Ravens fan base were just drooling over him. Like, I've never seen anything like it. And
you know who was the bandwagon leader, Bateman guy?
Chibs. Chibs was.
That should have been red flag number one.
I didn't see it. And now, I'm not like, I don't even feel like doing a I told you so with him, because like, I wanted him to succeed. Like, I did not like the guy. I just didn't think he deserved the hype that people were giving him. And he proved that. Yeah, the injury stuff happened and he can't control that, but he can control the recovery process. He can control his work ethic. He can control what he does in the off season.
Like, I don't even know if he's not walking
runway. I mean, he should be more inclined to less focus on runways in Italy and painting his nails and more focus on rehabbing his fucking foot or whatever he ended up having issues with at whatever point. But I just don't think he's got – and I'm not questioning, like, him as a man, because I would never do that to another man. But, like, I have to question, like, his heart sometimes. Like, he's not in it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he doesn't –
it's one of those – it's one of those situations where, like, if you really enjoy fashion and you really enjoy going to, you know, fucking Italian runway shows and shopping at Balenciaga, fine. Don't put that shit on social media. You know, if that's really something that fucking makes you happy and it makes you, you know, mentally ready to go play 17 NFL games and compete at a high level, by all fucking means, do whatever the fuck you want. But stop fucking posting that shit at some point. You know, it's like, delete your Instagram and delete your Twitter and stop fucking giving people reasons to make fun of you. Delete all that shit. Yeah.
This man basically like jumped on a helicopter as soon as they landed in London and went directly to the fucking the shopping district.
And if you didn't know about that and he didn't post pictures of himself there, you'd be none the wiser.
Right. It
wouldn't fucking matter.
And so he looks soft.
It's the same argument as the Marlon Humphrey podcast of like the reason why I hated the podcast when, you know, existing when things were going bad for the Ravens was because he was giving people something to blame. It might not have been the right thing to blame. And, you know, realistically, that's an hour and a half out of Marlon's week that he's spending, you know, recording a podcast and, you know, he's not going to rehab 24 hours a day. Like, fine, I get that whole argument, but you're giving people this content, you're giving people these posts that they are going to get upset under. So if you're Rashad Bateman, you have been a first round pick. You have not come anywhere near to living up to the hype of that. So fucking stop giving people a reason to bully you.
Hey,
stop.
And like you said, too, like with the tape stuff, that's getting annoying, too. Like fans are showing him on the backside of a play wide open. Well, no shit. The flow of the play is going to the right. How long is the average play in an NFL game, especially a pass play? Like, yeah, he's open. Like he's the third look. Like, and
Grant,
there's a reason.
Grant,
why,
they're isolating him in the. They're not even showing the play. They're just doing an isolated.
You can see by
clip.
His routes that he's the, like what look he is, and like, and the thing too is, I trust Lamar. Lamar's a team guy. He's a player guy. He's a friend guy. He's an everything guy. And if he's not trusting you in certain situations, then that speaks volumes on its own. Whether he comes out and says it or not, he wouldn't do that. But like, there's a reason he's not the first or second look this year in his career as a first round pick.
Yeah, dead on. Like, if Lamar's not throwing him the ball, that chemistry is not there, and that chemistry is not there because Bateman hasn't done the right thing to have that chemistry there.
Hey, I gotta make a statement, or I gotta ask a question, really. So, Grant, you're done with the experiment, the Bateman experiment, right?
As annoyed as I am with him, if he stays, I, of course, want him to succeed. I want him to progress and be better.
Obviously, yeah.
The experiment, yes, itself.
Your EDC, let me phrase Will's question better for you. You are EDC. You have complete roster control right now. Is Rashad Bateman here next year, or have you moved him
I try to move him for another piece, whether it's an offensive lineman, pass rusher, or receiver.
All right, well, so this is perfect.
I try to use him as a piece of capital.
That's a perfect answer, because that leads into my follow-up question. So, speaking of experiments gone wrong, it seems that the Steelers are done with their experiment with Team Cancer George Pickens, and they're looking to move him for another piece, upgrade their wide receiver. He was allegedly an alpha wide receiver one, but they're just done with him. They want to get rid of him and bring in Brandon Ayuk, who's a true wide receiver one. What do you have to say about that?
I think that any chance you have a possibility to get Brandon Ayuk, I mean, you do it. You know, whether it's giving up your young guy or not, Pickens is still a stud. He's going to be a stud. I think he's going to be a stud in San Francisco if he goes to San Francisco. But, I mean, I wouldn't like to see Ayuk in Pittsburgh. But I don't think he's a failed experiment whatsoever. I think he's putting up numbers and he's going to progress. And he had fucking shitty quarterback situation. So, like, you know, it is what it is at that point. I'd like to see him in a legitimate offense with a legitimate quarterback.
Well, don't you think
Grant can you cover your ears for a second?
The Steelers are in the middle of completely overhauling everything. And
Rashad
they're like
Bateman and a third for Pickens.
Fuck yes, that.
I would. I wouldn't. I wouldn't think twice. I hate George Pickens, but I mean, I have to be honest here. Like,
because we know what George Pickens going to give us every Sunday.
Yeah,
imagine him at the X. Like,
I mean, George Pickens would probably like fucking, you know, RKO some handicapped kid on the sideline if he didn't get the ball enough. But
you
I'd
guys,
still rather have
you
him
so close. Is everyone aware that I have a rule? No George is allowed. Do you know why?
Didn't some kid named George like pee on you in middle school or something like that?
No. What? So when I was seven, I had appendicitis, and when I was in the hospital, I shared a room with another kid who was an Asian kid named George, and he was there because his dick hole. He was born with his dick hole on top of his dick, so when he would piss, it would go straight up in the air. So he was there to have his
see. I knew there was a pee story with George.
He was there to have his dick hole. He was there to have his dick hole sewed shut, and his dick hole rerouted to the front of his dick.
Pause, yo. Pause.
15 minutes.
So then that kid would piss like Dave Chappelle would piss with that digital piss in that sketch from Chappelle's show in the courtroom with fucking R. Kelly.
This seems like a water fountain.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. you understand what I'm asking?
He would have to like aim it underneath his ass to piss.
Literally.
I mean, I can live with the no George rule, but I would take George Pickens over Rashad Bateman any day of the week.
But look, let's look at it like this though, right? Like, now this is not judging EDC. I'm just looking at it based off the draft class. Like, you gotta try to do something with Bateman because it's like it was Bateman and Oway drafted in that same draft class, right? And it's if both of them don't produce this year, it's just like to have two first round busts. It's just like, wow.
Yeah, but so Oway is his trending. Trajectory is up.
Okay,
up.
He's trending in the right direction.
I'm not saying Oway going to be a bust because I see the potential like from rookie Oway to now. You see what I'm saying?
I don't see the difference. He came on stronger than the season.
Yeah, two. That's what I'm saying. I don't see the difference in Bateman. Like, all right, yeah. He can get
Bateman
open.
Hasn't done anything to give you a reason.
And that's what I'm trying to say, because like we know everybody love Lamar, right? Nobody don't see no wrong in Lamar right now. There's no shot to Lamar, but you do got some fans saying he open, right? And don't get me wrong. Sometimes I went to the games, Bateman was open, but just like Grant said, he trusts Lamar just like I trust Lamar. But there's a reason why Lamar's not giving him the ball. You feel what I'm saying? Everybody can say it's chemistry, this and that. Come on now. If you're a quarterback, I think Tom Brady, he ain't give a fuck who it was. Like, if the receiver was open, he'd get it to him. You feel what I'm saying? But it's something with the Bateman where though something not adding up, and it's just like...
Well, you know what? Dude, he dropped that fucking touchdown in a Steelers game. That's enough for me as a quarterback to say, I'm going to think twice next time this motherfucker's open.
Was it the game before that when he was gone
and Lamar threw a perfect ball and he slowed down at the top of his route?
Yep.
Wasn't that the game before that? So he cost him a touchdown there, and it's like I just don't know what he thinks sometimes.
Yeah. Well, and then remember the Baldy breakdown in the Chiefs game where it was the scramble drill and Lamar's telling him go, 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 and this is like playground shit. Any one of us would know this. When you break the pocket, you run out. It's you go sideline and go, right? You run with the quarterback, and then if the quarterback says go, you go. He had the whole goddamn sideline. He probably would have scored a fucking touchdown. He had so much space, and all he did was he ran to the sideline and then just stood there like a fucking asshole with three guys around him. Yeah, Lamar wanted to punch him in the face. He does not trust him. He doesn't trust his instincts.
And for good reason. And that's why, again, like it's done. That experiment of Rashad Bateman being your wide receiver one or your wide receiver two, it's done. It's dead. It's been dead. It's dead. That's what I'm saying.
I don't even want to go
6 feet under. Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't want to go in the next season thinking about if it's going to work, this and that. Or like, let's just start fresh. Fuck it. We got Zay. We know what Zay can do. We know what Nelly can do. Shit, at this point, shit, let's even give Wallace a chance to, you know what I mean? Like, Wallace with some other rookie wide receivers or bring another vet in. Like, it's nothing against Bateman. No, everybody like, oh, Trippy. Like, they probably, like, oh, Trippy, mad you blocked. No, it's just the point. Like, I'm asking fans, what's the, like, how y'all feel about Bateman? Because I'm trying to get an idea because it's just like, he's a decent player, but it's just like, it's not working here. Everybody mad at Hollywood because he requested a trade, but shit, I mean, damn. The fuck, like, what Bateman doing? This motherfucker, he don't even speak up for us. I don't know. This shit is just crazy. I don't get it. It's just wild.
Yeah, to be clear, I would take Hollywood 10 times out of 10 over fucking
And that's
Bateman.
What I'm saying. At least we know what Hollywood going to do. He going to ball out. We'll have a couple drops.
I don't know about ball out, but yeah, he's better than Bateman.
Man, ball out, man. Like I said, ball out. Ball out in this offense, bro. Ball out in this offense. He was already putting up decent numbers in a Greg Roman offense. Imagine what he would have did in the Todd Monken offense. That's all I'm saying.
I think he's gonna have a good year in KC, man. I think he's gonna be that what they wanted Mecole Hardman to be, and he just wasn't. He didn't have the capabilities that Marquise does.
Grant, I have a question. How many NFL playoff touchdowns have you caught in your life?
Zero.
So is Hollywood Brown. So that's all that fucking matters. So guy sucks ass.
Well, don't worry. He's going to have a couple of them in the playoffs this year.
No, to be fair, in those three playoff games, Lamar Jackson didn't throw a touchdown to anybody in Marquise's defense.
Marquise had like 12 catches in all those games and didn't catch any touchdowns. So I don't fucking know. Guy sucks.
But I'm just saying, though.
Wait, didn't he have one in? Didn't he have one against Tennessee?
Zero. No, he came close. It was he caught that long ball at the 4-yard line and they couldn't punch it in.
One-handed.
Yeah.
But look, this is what I'm saying. I'm not taking up for Hollywood, but what I'm saying is, right, when it came to the playoffs, he at least gave it all he got. Him and Zay is the other, like, since EDC been drafting wide receivers, right? Since Lamar been in the league, right? Hollywood has been the only productive wide receiver that has been drafted in the first round. Second is Zay Flowers. Where's Bateman? It's like, it's no effort, bro. Like, come on. You got fans talking about, oh, Odell was taking reps from him, this and that. To be honest with you, the motherfucker had more rep snaps than fucking Odell. Hello?
Yeah.
Right or wrong? He had more snaps than he should have.
And then you had Nelson Aguilar that came in as the fourth. That's what I'm saying. Nelly came in as the fourth receiver, and you had the same fucking fans bitching about why the fuck did we sign Nelly? Oh, he dropped passes and shit. But at least when he came in, he was fucking producing.
Yep.
Like, it don't make sense. Like, I don't get it. Like, then you got John Harbaugh, and maybe that's why fans so pumped up. Y'all the same fans hating on Harbaugh, talking about y'all want him out of here, but oh, well, Harbaugh said Bateman's going to get a lot of touches this year. So what is it? Is y'all going to trust the coach that y'all tired of listening to the same fucking last couple years since 19? Like, it's just crazy. Like, I don't know what it is. I just rather trade his ass. Let's start fresh. You feel me? That's how I feel. Because, I mean, look at the offensive line. Why not start fresh with the couple receivers too? And then we got a couple receivers on the practice squad, like a Sean Ryan. You got the other dude. I forgot his name.
Tariq Black.
Like, let's get him a try. And when I go to the training camps, them motherfuckers be out there catching the ball and shit. Get him
out there. I like Tariq Black.
I'm wondering if EDC is weighing. I'm sure he's having conversations about Bateman, and like if the offers are like a 7th round pick.
Bateman is trending right now, bro, on Twitter. He is trending. Hello? He's trending.
Yeah, I guess it's like, I'm saying, is he going to get better return in a comp pick or a trade this year? That's the question.
That is a good question because I don't know the answer.
I'd say definitely comp.
That's the question, especially if he lets Bateman play it out this year and Bateman plays well, and he can get a 3rd or a 4th round comp pick out of it next year, rather than trade him for a 6th or a 7th, then maybe it's worth it to him.
Yeah, he might get trade him for a 4th or a 3rd.
Well, not right now. He can't. No chance. No chance.
We bought a 1st for Marquise, so I don't know.
Well, but maybe we can flip. Maybe we can flip him at the deadline. Who knows?
And then we not bring Odell back, so it's just like, all right. So yeah, basically now we got fucking. Right now, let's just think about it. We got fucking Bateman, Nelly, Zay. Tylon Wallace.
But I'm just saying he's there.
Well, right. And also think about it this way. Is there anybody that's a free agent right now that you would take over Rashad Bateman with his potential and skill set?
Gallup.
That you're going to pay?
Gallup.
I'm saying, think salary, though.
I mean, to be honest with you, I wanted Mike Williams, but I mean, looking at the numbers that the Justice gave him, I knew
they just gave him an Odell. They just gave him the same contract they gave Odell.
That's what I'm saying. And he coming off an injury, but Odell took a year off. You get what I'm saying? So it's just damn. But I mean, I don't know. Like, and it's no Bateman hate because I always was riding for him. Like, you know how I am with players. I always going to ride for him, just like I was riding for JK. Sometimes the shit just don't work out. And I'm getting to this point where, though, it's just certain shit just don't work out, and sometimes you just need a fresh start. You feel what I'm saying?
Did Dobbins sign with the Chargers?
No.
Gusted. So he's Dobbins still... is still a free agent, I believe.
You know what that tells me? You know what that tells me?
What?
He sucks ass. Nobody likes
no,
him.
No, medicals are bad.
That'll be shit, bro. Yeah, that'll be that is bad. It's just probably he just waiting on the perfect market. I mean, it's still other free agents out there, like, you feel me? I think he's probably going to go to Dallas.
I can't see him getting more than that.
Or Kansas City. I think he's going to sign with a contender. Because you got to think about it. Then some people got to look at it like this too, right? Because you got fans getting mad talking about why these players going to such a team. Like, at the end of the day, shit, that just got to motivate the Ravens just to play harder. You feel what I'm saying?
And like, if we upgrade the receiver position, I think it's via trade. And then I think we'd get somebody in the first two rounds.
Yeah, so Grant's on board with us.
Yep.
You missed it, but we basically said that exact thing. So,
yeah, just to recap, we're happy with rebuilding the line through the draft. I think that trading for Cortland Sutton specifically is probably the smartest move wide receiver wise.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think option B would be taking a wide receiver early. And I mean, other than that, it's picking up veteran guys who are going to become available between now and the start of camp, whether it's, you know, veteran pass rusher, veteran corner. Like, you know, we have obviously some depth concerns that I think we can fill cheap and see what happens. And other than that, I mean, team's in fairly good shape as long as they really address offensive line and wide receiver.
And fans are totally forgetting, like when they mention the offensive line stuff, they're totally forgetting all the young talent we've drafted the past 2 years, like that are waiting in the wings to take over from guys that were – I mean, Zeitler was a perennial Pro Bowler. So, like, we got guys that are waiting, like, that are talented. And it's like people are acting like all of us are, you know, about to start this year.
Yeah, I don't get the being torn up by Zeitler being gone. It confused me, to be honest. Like, he's a good player, great while he was here. You know, best of luck in Detroit. I'm not, like, mad at him. But I wasn't paying him $6 million a year. I don't think that he's that kind of player for this team anymore. And especially
Ooh,
that he's got
my
the
bad. I got sidetracked. Oh,
Zeitler.
Yeah. Hey, remember we was just talking about that 2 weeks ago. Like, I just felt like maybe the time was up. Like, let's see what Ben Cleveland got. Fuck it.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, I hate to say it. Like, if we run with like the offensive lineman, like we got, if it's just competition, like what the fuck do we got to lose? I mean, it's the reason why we drafted him.
Don't overpay for nostalgia. I think it should really be the point to drive home on offensive line. Like, you liked Kevin Zeitler while I was here. That's fine. It's time to move on.
Hey, if
we didn't cut him, I would have been happy that he was still here. I'm not losing sleep over him not being here.
Nope.
And then like you said, like maybe he just ain't fit the tall monkey offense. Cause if you think about it, like a lot of them offensive linemen that we, you know, that's gone now. Like, they really ain't fit the tall monkey offense. If you wanted me to be honest.
We've got to get young and athletic on the offense.
I was just
going
to, you know, definitely athletic guards and then, you know, a right tackle that'll get out. And like, nothing against Morgan Moses, but we need somebody that's more athletic getting out in space to, chipping the edge, getting the second level, those types of things, leading that right side.
Damn, like, we really, damn, like, that shit crazy, ain't it, Grant? Like, we really went from supposed to be a Super Bowl team to like just fucking whole offensive line gone. Like,
I think that's the only thing
staff in the gone. NFL. We ripped the Band-Aid off. Ripped the Band-Aid off. Now it's time to address the wound.
But you know what though, too, I gotta give the ultimate respect to EDC because he's trusted his process. He said what he was going to do, and he stuck to his plan, and he's sticking to his plan.
Right,
and all
right,
these people
right.
that are bitching about, like, moves, yeah, I'd like to see somebody from the outside come in besides Derrick Henry, but they're completely overlooking the fact that we got Malabak today, who's dominated last year in the slot. And then, you know, re-signed Chris Board. There's your special teams guy. Like, you know, solidify the special teams with a veteran that's been in the system before. You know,
I was kind of confused with that side, though.
To Stanley, like, or the rework to Stanley. That's the most impressive move is how he got him to be like, yeah, I got to prove my shit, and I will. And have him be a team player to stick. But, like, people need to chill on that. And, you know, I've been critical of EDC, but he's doing the right things. And he's doing what he needed to do. And not saying that I, like, we joke about it, but I'm not like, oh, yeah, you know, he listened to me. But, no, like, my envision for the offense, the team, like, he started making those moves that I thought he was sitting on his hands on. And then, you know, he had a plan all along, and I should have trusted that plan for him. And he's done phenomenal.
The big difference between last offseason and the ones before is I think those plans finally worked out. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that that was probably the plan the whole time, and it just didn't happen to work last year.
I think if EDC listened to, like, the fans, like, say if, like, EDC.
We'd be 0-17. We'd be 0-17 if he listened to fucking chance.
That's how I feel, too, like.
He won't overpay either, and that's good because, yeah, he might have wanted to do it in the past 3 or 4 years, but he's not going to overpay. I'm sure there's – I mean, we've all heard it with Hopkins and everybody else. Like, we've had guys that were right there, Darius Slay. Like, we've had guys that were game-changing Pro Bowl guys that would have came in and contributed immediately.
Well, I'm glad we didn't get Darius Slay because he's trash.
I made this comparison group chat earlier, but – EDC is definitely the guy that if he's going to go buy a new car, he prints out the price of that same car at 7 other dealerships, has it in a nice little manila envelope, brings it into the dealer, and tries to haggle on the price.
Can we get confirmation on that? Because I don't feel like that's true.
100% true. It has to be. I mean, that's just that. That's he is. This is what something's worth, and this is what I'm paying for it, and I'm not paying a penny more.
Hey,
I feel like this is still another, you know, I don't know if like lackluster week is the right word, but like something's coming soon. We're getting into draft season. Like there's going to be moves to be made. This is right around, you know, March 27th is when things really kicked off last year. That's when Lamar publicly requested a trade. That's when the offseason got spicy last year. So
I thought it was March 7th.
No, it was March 27th. I looked it up the other day.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's when he formally announced it on Twitter.
I may or may not have it bookmarked so that I can wish the tweet happy anniversary on March 27th when it comes up.
The Ravens Twitter world went crazy.
Yep. So March 27th this year, we're going to acquire Courtland Sutton. Book it.
Yep. There you go.
What do you think the comp is for him after seeing the recent deals?
Third.
What did Judy go for?
He went for a fifth and a sixth.
I mean, I feel like you could get Sutton for a third. You know, I think that gets the deal done.
I personally think he is, but do you think that like he's valued more than Judy? Judy had a lot of hype around him.
But Judy was cheap and Sutton's already got, yeah. I think he's like $17 million cap hit the next 2 years, something like that.
He signed a deal last year, didn't he?
Yeah, so he's still got some money left on that contract, so I feel like that knocks the price down a little bit. Yeah, I mean, I think a third gets that deal done, and I wouldn't be shocked if we pulled the trigger on it if that was on the table.
Well, I mean, to me, that's a no-brainer for him.
Yeah, I don't know if that's – the only downside to that is that, like, nobody knows what the fuck the Broncos are thinking. They're, you know, fucking special breed of stupid, so.
Yeah, who knows those motherfuckers.
That Walmart money corrupts the mind.
I mean, look at what they gave up for Russell Wilson in terms of picks and guaranteed money. Like, they're not a smart group, so I don't know if I can trust them. But
Mr. Unlimited.
Mr. Unlimited dead cap.
And then they just cut him and to eat, what, $80-something million?
Yeah. Yep. I mean, it was the highest dead cap hit in history.
How bad do you want to move on from a guy to do that?
That's a fuck you move to move on from.
Should we touch on everything the Steelers have done?
We might as well
care. If we're being honest.
Yeah.
My whole thing with the Steelers is that Russell Wilson is not good anymore. But you got Russell Wilson for $1 million, so that's, you know, a former Super Bowl winning quarterback that like might be decent, and he's significantly better than Pickett and the quarterbacks they've had in the past. And then you got Justin Fields, who's a former first-round pick. You got him for a sixth, which, again, is like
– not just a first-round pick. He was a number one overall pick. Or, no, he was a number nine pick, wasn't he?
He was, like, picked
– like 20.
12 or 13. Yeah, he was like 12 or 13.
Or, okay, yeah.
I think he was 13.
But regardless, that's another guy that's got boatloads of physical talent. And, like, somebody can teach – Arthur Smith might be the guy to teach him to put it together. He made Ryan Tannehill look good for a couple of years. So, you only – you know, God only knows what he's got up his sleeve. Like, I don't like the Steelers getting better. That's what bothers me. They're not two, like, moves that I actually care about. It's more like their quarterbacks have sucked for 5 years, and now they have quarterbacks that might be good.
They had three terrible quarterbacks last year, and now they have two quarterbacks who are both significantly better than all three quarterbacks they had previously.
Well, yeah, I mean, they're both NFL starters.
Yeah. Well, and
NFL starters with upsides.
The thing that confuses me is this. I mean, their backup, this isn't confusing. It was smart. Like Fields is making like $3.2 million, I think, something like that. That's just part of his rookie deal. So I think they're spending like $4.5 million on their current quarterbacks, their two quarterbacks. They traded for Fields. It's a six-round pick that is a conditional fourth if he plays 51% of the snaps. He's not going to play 51% of the snaps unless Russell Wilson gets hurt. But they're already talking about that they want to sign Russell Wilson long-term. So if that's the case, I don't know what the fuck the point of trading for Justin Fields was.
Is that a lip service to Russell Wilson when you bring him in? Oh, yeah, we'll talk about an extension.
Possibly. Possibly. But like, it was very weird timing to sign Russell Wilson, then immediately trade Kenny Pickett, and then immediately trade for Justin Fields. Like, Russell Wilson's got to feel a little bit weird about that, right?
Yeah, but also Russell Wilson's there on a $1 million prove-it deal, so he must have known nothing was guaranteed, you know what I mean?
No, yeah, but still, at the same time, he's got to feel a little bit weird about that.
Yeah, so earn it. I mean, he got drafted and came in and behind Matt Flynn, who they just paid a shit ton of money and earned that job, so.
Yeah, it's a strange situation, and then when was Deontay Johnson traded? Was that before or after they signed Russell Wilson?
It was after.
After.
It was before.
It was after. Nah, yeah, they traded Deontay Johnson. They traded him the same week. Day they signed Patrick Queen.
You're right. It was after.
So they sign Russell Wilson. They immediately trade his number one wide receiver, and now they're talking about trading his current number one wide receiver. So like, what the fuck? and then they immediately traded for a guy who could replace him. So it's like,
take his job. Yeah,
it's a really confusing situation, but the Steelers are better than they were before, so,
which I don't like. That's my main issue with it.
And by the way, fuck Patrick Queen.
Yeah, you know why, Pat? Like, my only issue is the Steelers. You knew he was gonna go somewhere else and get paid. Why?
Well, and here's the bigger issue. Yes, fuck him for going to the Steelers, but going there, talking the shit that he talked, I want to be the villain, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes on Twitter and he's like, all right, everyone, shut the fuck up now. It's time for you to shut the fuck up. No, dude, you just said you want to be the villain. So now you get you get villain energy. So shut the fuck up.
It was kind of funny. It was one of those like, give me all the smoke. And he's like, yep, never mind. I'm up. Like, I've seen
enough. Hey, pal,
he blocked you, right, Will?
He didn't block me, I don't think.
No, he's smarter than that. He wouldn't block Will. He knows that would, like, make it 10 times worse.
No, he didn't block me. No. But,
any
like,
any Ravens player got you blocked?
Not that I'm aware of. But, like,
Patrick Burkhardt's got him blocked.
No. It's just like,
that's why he won't come on the show.
He spent 4 years here. He knows how we are. He poked the bear, and then he immediately got on Twitter a day later and was a little bitch about it. If you want to be the villain, then by all means do it. You know, like, have fun with it, but don't be a little bitch about it.
Yeah, I mean, don't, like, it was just funny that it was like in front of the camera. Yeah, I want to be the villain. Or I want to be the bad guy. And it's like, yep, never mind. I'm out. I've had enough.
Yeah.
Tried this villain life for a day. It's not for me.
No mas.
He's trying to spin it to like a victim mindset. Like, yeah. What?
You shut the fuck. He's like, us players.
I mean, the villain, though.
Well, no, he's not, because he's like, oh, us players, we don't, it doesn't matter to us until
he's
game week.
He's sensitive for all that.
It seemed to matter to you yesterday. Yeah, it seemed to matter to you yesterday when you talked about being the villain.
He also dropped the touch grass in there, which always makes me laugh when people say that in tweets.
That's a Lindsay OK classic right there. I mean, touch grass, even though she won't go outside.
I feel where people coming from, but like the part he was, I think he basically was just saying, but I guess he shouldn't have came out and said the villain part. That's what
that's the problem. Trippy, that's the problem. That's the big problem. Like, if you go to the Steelers and you're just like,
there were people taking it way too far with him. There were people who were like, you know, motherfucking his family and all this kind of shit. And it's like, all right, like, chill the fuck out. Like, we're having fun. Like,
I didn't say anything
when
about him.
People get all personal. That's weird.
I didn't say anything about any of it until he went on after the villain thing and with that dumbass tweet about everybody shut the fuck up now.
The problem was, I think
you would shut the if You said something like, you don't tell people to shut the fuck up after you go on and say, I want to be the villain. You asked for people to then come at you.
I think that the tweet was stupid because it was tailored towards the 5% of people saying weird shit to him.
Right.
And it was put out as a public message towards 100% of people.
Well, and but it felt to me like it was like asking people to like suck his dick.
I was getting backlash off of that tweet too, because I had commented.
Oh, I had people in my mentions saying like this tweet was directed at you. I was like, he still follows me, you fucking morons.
Right. Like that's what I was saying. You like
I put him on a fucking Mount Rushmore with Judas, and he didn't seem to care too much about that. So like, no. You know, it's I was like, there's jokes to be made here. It's okay. You can be.
They was like, nah, Trippy, yo, he ain't, man. No, he with the ops now. Like him and Geno Smith. I keep saying Geno Smith. Him and Geno Stone. Yeah, him and Geno Stone follow me. So it's like, shit, I ain't got no bad blood.
You think he signed with the Steelers to save Geno Smith from getting all the shit that, or Geno Stone getting all the shit that he was getting? It's like, oh, I gotta save my boy Geno here. I gotta take over the villainship from Twitter.
Could be.
No. I mean,
probably not.
Trying to save him from getting questions like, all right, so what inspired you to sign with the Bengals? Do you want to have sex with your sister? Does chili spaghetti sound that good to you?
Oh, did you hear Deshaun Elliott, by the way, saying why he signed with the Steelers?
Yo,
I did not hear that.
Yo, so you just took it right out of my mouth.
Pause. He said, first of all, yeah. I pointed at the logo. He's like, this means championship football. The last time they won a Super Bowl, he was 8 or something like that, or 11. And then he's like, I grew up watching the Steel Curtain, which was in the 70s, and he was born in 1997. Like, how? Fuck are you doing?
So he didn't even get the fucking Blitzberg team. Like, get the fuck out of here. The Steel Curtain.
Yeah, like he probably googled cool things about Steelers football like 5 minutes before the press conference. It's like, oh yeah, Steel Curtain.
He did post a picture on his Instagram, like he had like, I guess youth football. He played for like the Steelers or whoever the team was he played for.
Yeah, that was the Steel Curtain that he watched growing up. Was his fucking.
I mean, I guess that was a good motivation though. Like, but I just felt like
it was just such a fucking wild statement.
Yeah, it was, but I don't know. I don't know. Like, was that a shot towards the Ravens, or like, was that a shot towards like the old teams he played for? I mean, played before after the Ravens.
Or it was just he didn't want to say nobody else wanted to give me money, and the Steelers did, so I signed with them. That's probably what actually happened.
But I mean, that's a good fit for him, though. That's what I mean. Yeah. I just I just look at it like, yeah, Patrick Queen signed with the Steelers and shit. Damn, that shit just sound crazy. Keep saying that, like,
yeah,
you know, like you just wake up, gross. And you're like, no, that shit ain't true. But it's true.
I actually reported that tweet. It is, by the way.
Then Tyler Huntley, he signed with the Browns. Like, I don't know what that was all about.
Paycheck.
Thank you, Browns. Thank you, Browns.
And then Geno Stone. I mean, I don't. It's just gonna be very exciting, man, for the AFC North this year. But
you know what? I bet you when Tyler Huntley signed with the Browns, he thought, man. Ravens flock, they're going to be coming at me just like they did PQ, and everyone's like, see bye. Ya, enjoy.
I think it's going to be, I could see us having a Lamar versus Tyler Huntley this year.
Oh, I need it.
He's the fourth quarterback.
Bro.
For now.
Jameis is probably going to end up in prison.
For now.
We want to see that shit, bro. Now, you got to think about it, right? Lately, like the NFL, bro, it's all about views. You feel me?
Yeah, Watson's probably going to get another accuser, so he's probably going
to
get.
You got to think about it, right? Games. Tyler Huntley and Lamar played in high school, I think, in the championship game. Tyler Huntley beat him. They would love to see that shit. Like, you think people want to see Joe Flacco versus Lamar? Shit, they'd love to see Tyler Huntley versus Lamar.
It's going to be exciting, though. Yeah, I'd love to see Roquan just lay out Tyler Huntley. That would be great. But
oh, yeah.
All right. I think we've covered everything we needed to this week.
I do agree with that. Well, that's going to do it for this week's installment. We'll be back to discuss this, that, and the other. My dying's going to sound like an ah this week. But meanwhile, it's time for me to die.
Zone 32.